In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. There was a time, once upon a time, where people only acquired debt in extreme circumstances, where catastrophe strikes and you have to use some, you have to access funds that are not in your possession, and thus you are in an extreme circumstance addressing that catastrophe, and thus a debt ensues. But the climate of modern society has changed dramatically, as we all are aware. Establishing credit has become a normal part of life and considered extremely important. And living in debt has ultimately become a way of life in our society. The only question now remains, it's not the question that it should be, is can I afford something? And no longer is the question. The question that remains is, can I make the monthly payment? And in today's economy, we all recognize how difficult debt can truly be, how quickly life circumstances can change and financial disaster can loom over our heads so quickly. Living debt-free is more than a good financial strategy, it's actually good spiritual advice. In the gospel text today, Jesus tells a parable about debt, but the whole parable about the debt is only to illustrate the greatness of forgiveness, what it is to be forgiven such a great debt. The debt of the first servant would amount in today's world to millions of dollars. The debt was so great that a laborer could never repay a debt so large. It was impossible. They could work every day of their life to a great deal and never come up with the funds to repay that debt. And knowing this, the king simply forgives the debt. You see, as we read this passage, we are to understand that what is implied by this debt, how we are to understand this debt, is this is the great debt of our sins. Because our sins have accumulated. Each one of us have a great debt of sin. And that debt is too great for any of us to do anything about. If it's not for God's intervention, this debt will surely overtake us. And indeed, God has done something about that debt. That debt that is too great for any of us to do anything about, to ever repay, God pays. Christ comes as the incarnate one, and through the cross, God forgives the debt of sin for all of humanity. But that being the case, we have to, sooner or later, come to terms with that huge debt. We can't understand the forgiveness that is expressed to us if we don't understand the debt that we are being forgiven. We have to come to terms with the devastation that sin causes us personally. We have to recognize the devastating effects that sin has on the individuals that I encounter in my life, the people that I have a relationship with, my friends, my family, my coworkers, those that I encounter. And likewise, we have to recognize that the devastation of sin goes even beyond these realms. And we have to recognize that sin brings great chaos into this world. That sin is not God's intended effect in this world. It's something that happened long ago. And the effects of sin are clearly all around us. Sin is never ultimately a localized event. When Adam and Eve sinned long ago in the garden, their sin was a cosmic sin. And likewise it is, when we sin, it has cosmic proportions. What happens when Adam and Eve sin? Sin and death become the norm in this world. Sin and death enter into this world, and it becomes normative and reigns and creates the chaos of this world that we live in. And so it is that when we sin, we participate in a similar way, in a similar fashion, to that chaos. You see, there's ultimately no such thing as a private sin. Even sins that other people don't encounter, don't know about, ultimately isn't private because the effects of those sin, those so-called private sins, affect the people in our lives. And my sin has this cosmic dimension to it. It contributes to the chaos and the disorder of this world. We have to understand that sin is indeed a powerful thing. However, sin is never to be understood to be greater than the great power of God's grace. Sin never exceeds the power of God's grace. Divine forgiveness is always more powerful than sin. And divine forgiveness can cancel out the effects of sin, can forgive a debt, and can change the order of the world. Divine forgiveness is likewise a cosmic event. The forgiveness of God seeks to restore those who have fallen under the weight of sin. The forgiveness of God brings relief to those who suffer under the weight of sin. Forgiveness brings renewed hope to those who struggle. Forgiveness brings peace into our lives. Forgiveness brings joy into our hearts. We look at Adam and Eve and we look at their choice. Their choice was to reject God's plan and to sin. And in cosmic terms, ensues. They sinned and it set off cosmic disorder. But Christ came as the incarnate Lord. He came and he took away the sins. He took those sins to the cross and the grave and triumphed over them. And thus, divine grace, divine forgiveness has become available to the human race. And because of Christ's work on the cross, because of divine forgiveness is in effect in this world, cosmic order can be restored. The forgiveness of God will ever remain more powerful than sin. This is very important for us as we read this parable this morning to recognize how closely, how intimately this finds application in our personal lives. We can contribute to the disorder of sin, or we can contribute to the restoration of divine forgiveness. And that is ultimately what the choice in this life that is before us is all about. Are we going to continue in sin and continue to contribute to the chaos? Or are we going to follow God's plan? Are we going to follow Him? Are we going to participate in divine forgiveness and be part of His restorative work in this world to redeem us, to restore creation? By continuing to sin, we continue in our own brokenness and we continue in the brokenness of this world. But by walking in divine forgiveness, we contribute to God's healing plan. By walking in divine forgiveness, we become a positive force in this world. We must ever be mindful of the power of divine forgiveness. But likewise, we must ever be mindful of the evil one's devices to keep us from the power of divine forgiveness. I want to call attention to two particular things that I believe the enemy consistently taunts us, afflicts us, lies to us about divine forgiveness. First, we must recognize that we are never, ever cut off from accessing the power of divine forgiveness. But the enemy of our soul will constantly question this, tell us that that is not true. The enemy of our soul will constantly bring up the sins of the past. He will take the opportunity to tell us that we've done something so bad in our past that surely God can never forgive us of that. He will tell us again and again that we're trapped in our sins and that we can never get out from under the weight of them. But we need to take courage from the parable this morning. We need to recognize this is what this is all about. This is what our faith is all about. The sins of the first servant were so great, they were like a multi-million dollar debt. That's a great debt. We all recognize. Even in today's world, we recognize how great that would be. There's no way out of that. But the king, in one act of divine forgiveness, brought forgiveness into the equation, and thus everything changed. He was released from that debt. He was out from under it. We need to be assured this morning that the sins of our past are not greater than the forgiveness of God, ever. He forgives all who come to Him seeking mercy, just like in the parable. Those that sought mercy received mercy. The cross has already dealt with whatever sin haunts us. We need to let the power of God's forgiveness saturate our hearts and our lives. Divine forgiveness can bring freedom into our lives. Even in the realms where we may feel trapped, divine forgiveness can do its work and we can be out from under that weight and find a new way to freedom. The cosmic effects of sin have been resolved by the forgiveness of God, and they don't hold power over us any longer. The sins of our past do not hold power over us because of the forgiveness of God that is rendered through the cross of Christ. The second thing we need to be aware of is that the power of forgiveness ultimately does not belong to us. It belongs to God. And if that be the case, we have to recognize we don't earn God's forgiveness. God bestows it as a gift upon us. It's His gift, just like it was a gift of the king to forgive the debt. And that means since it doesn't belong to us, it's not ours to give others, and it's not ours to withhold from others, because it simply doesn't belong to us. Think about that for just a minute. and recognize that since we have been forgiven, the parable makes it clear that we have the responsibility to forgive. But the forgiveness with which we forgive others, it ultimately doesn't originate from our hearts. The forgiveness with which we forgive others is the same forgiveness that God forgives us with. It's the forgiveness of God that enters into our heart and our lives, and we refuse to hold on to it as though it's ours. We simply open our hearts, and God's forgiveness flows through us. And when we forgive others, ultimately, it's God's forgiveness acting through us. It's not something that belongs to us. Forgiveness is not something that originates from us. It's not ours, it's God's forgiveness. It's God's forgiveness flowing through us. It's only because we have been forgiven that we can forgive. But forgive we must. We can't excuse ourselves and think that we cannot forgive or that it's too difficult to forgive. We must forgive. We don't have the right, we don't have the right to withhold forgiveness from anyone. Remember, the point of the parable is, who holds all the debts? The king of all is the one who holds all the debts. And we have to recognize no human being ultimately owes a debt to us. We have to release humanity from any debt that we think that they hold to us. And we recognize that the only one that holds the debts is the king of all. We didn't earn God's forgiveness, it was a gift. And so it is, we cannot withhold forgiveness from other people. We release them from any debt that we think that they owe us. Any imagined debt that we have conjured in our mind, we release them from those things and recognize the only debt they owe is to the king of all, not to us. It's not always easy because some of us have surely been hurt in deep and sometimes even horrific ways that no human being should ever have to experience. And it's certainly forgiveness is not an excuse for the behavior of those who offend, those who hurt, those who victimize. Forgiveness is never an excuse. But we still have to take the steps and take up that struggle to forgive. Forgiveness is simply acknowledging that we are not the king and we are not the judge. God alone is that king and judge who holds all debt. And then whether we can forgive fully today or not, we have to begin to try. We have to recognize forgiveness is a process. And we have to start that process immediately. And sometimes that process takes days, and sometimes it takes weeks and months, and sometimes it even takes years to fully forgive. But we have to start by trying to forgive, by simply saying the words that we forgive the person that we need to forgive. Because forgiveness is a gift of God that we have freely received, and therefore we must freely distribute forgiveness to those who hurt us. The cosmic debt of sin has been paid through the cross, and the power of God's forgiveness has been unleashed in the universe. So let us walk in that power of divine forgiveness. Let us recognize today, no sin is ever greater than the power of God's forgiveness. We must allow God's forgiveness to heal us of the wounds of sin. And we must allow God's forgiveness to flow through us to those who hurt us. The power of God's forgiveness can indeed change us. The power of God's forgiveness can indeed change the people in our lives. And the power of God's forgiveness can indeed change the disorder of this world and bring grace and light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.